Welcome to TRC Talks, a podcast by The Reynolds Company, an authorized distributor for Rockwell Automation. This show features conversations with the automation specialists from The Reynolds Company, explaining the evolving landscape of products, services, and solutions for industrial controls and automation.
Welcome back to the podcast. This is Brad Freeman, and for today's conversation, we have a returning guest, Eric Bombier, a safety solution consultant with Rockwell Automation. Together, he and I overview safety and risk assessments, including what solutions we can offer, and then Eric gives a brief introduction into safety standards. Now, our webinar series is taking a short break for the month of June, but we will be back in July. In the meanwhile, I would highly recommend you check out the YouTube channel for The Reynolds Company, where you can find recorded presentations from our tech talks, our user groups on a variety of topics. As always, thank you so much for listening, and please enjoy today's conversation on safety and risk assessments. Eric and I actually worked together back in Virginia in the Rockwell space. We've both migrated to Texas in the last couple of years. And I got to know Eric on a few sales calls where we were talking to one of our customers out there about risk assessments, which is largely what we will be talking about today. A little bit about risk management, a lot about risk assessments, and maybe some other safety topics. Eric, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brad. It's great to be with you. And it's one of my favorite topics as my current role as a solution consultant for Rockwell. Focusing on machine safety is one of my primary areas. So this topic of risk assessment through mitigation is an area that I work with customers almost daily basis.
So if we're going to dive right into it then, let's look at risk management on the broad level. What is it? What's included? Let's kind of get that umbrella term set so that we can start diving into what we want to really talk about today.
I think that's a great place to start. Any organization has people that are very focused on risk management. Often it's very high level in the organization, C-suite folks. That's part of their jobs. There are college majors in risk management. And a lot of these things are based on the financial aspects of a company because any risks that a company accepts or takes on even unknowingly is a potential impact to their financial risk and their financial well-being. So on our topic today about safety risk assessments, we're talking about how much or how likely is a company to have injuries or incidents in their plant associated with machinery. Of course, other safety aspects for arc flash, chemical safety, safe work practices, all of that is part of their overall risk management. And increasingly, cybersecurity, as we know from quite a few headlines and recent events, cybersecurity is part of a company's risk management profile, in addition to operational risk, spare parts, asset management. All of these things boil up into the big topic of enterprise risk management that a company takes on. So when we talk about the safety side of it, we're talking about how much risk will a company be willing to take on, balanced in check with certain rules and requirements. And OSHA, as well as good engineering practices, do have some absolutes. They don't want us to have machinery that could reach out and grab somebody walking by, certainly. But ultimately, how much risk that a company will take on is a function of their own financial management.
I want to double back for a moment where you were talking about how cyber security is now playing a bigger role in this. And I'll reference some other episodes that we've done. We're talking today about a safety risk assessment, but that really fits into the same mindset as the other assessments we've talked about here. We've got network security assessments. where we have Brandon Singh on our staff here who can work with you and look at what does your network look like? How much risk do you have of a cyber incident causing an impact on production, on your financial stability, really, of your operations? The installed base evaluation is us doing an assessment of what is running in your plant. Do you have the right spares? How do you know if something breaks, you're going to keep running? You're going to get back up and running in a reasonable amount of time. So if we're looking at all the different assessments available, all of these are a look at where you are at now and how do we help you make a path towards a better state.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's well put. You know, on a sticking on the cyber and safety for a moment, the newest safety standards specifically call out the cybersecurity and network security standards. And that's largely because increasingly our machine safety systems could be networked and software intensive, which is something we didn't used to have years ago. But now that we do have a world where we could have Ethernet going to a machine control, and we want to make sure that machine is in a safe state while somebody's working on it. Well, cybersecurity is now part of the equation for machine safety systems too. Risk assessments really can be informal, and in many cases, that's all they are. It's sort of a conversation or a thought exercise that would be like you're walking in your plant and you see some machinery and somebody realizes, wait, that could be dangerous. Somebody might get hurt. We better do something about it. Let's go put up a guard with a switch on it to shut the machine down when the guard's open. That's a very informal, cursory, even maybe just mental risk assessment process. When we're talking about a formal risk assessment, it's the same concept, but following some more rigorous engineering standards. And of course, documenting it, writing it down, making a natural progression of a flow from how bad of an incident could occur, how likely is it to occur, maybe how easily could somebody avoid it, and then making a decision on whether that's too high of a risk or if it's an acceptable risk. And that is a scoring method. There are probably hundreds of different scoring methods. Not any single one of them is prescribed or required by the standards. But we do need to have some type of scoring, whether that's qualitative like high, medium, low, or quantitative like 1 through 500. There are different methods to score that, but that methodology of scoring will help us then make a decision on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And if it's not acceptable, what are some ideas that we could do to bring it down to an acceptable range, like safeguarding techniques and implementing systems?
So the description of an informal risk assessment you started with sounds to me like just how you do business. You're running a facility, you see something that could be dangerous, you do something about it. When we start talking about a more formal risk assessment and that being a deliverable that we can bring to our customers, where we're bringing in experts, we're going to sit down, walk through some sort of a scoring method on how dangerous is this? How likely is it to occur? How bad would it be if it happens? What does that actual process look like? I know that we can do it in a few different ways. What I've seen you recommend the most as we've been out talking to customers has been a team-based risk assessment where we're pulling in the people who actually run this equipment. So talk to me a little bit about what that process looks like, please.
Yeah, good. I think that's critical because you just said it. The people that run the equipment have firsthand daily insights into what actually happens and how the production is. So we often involve engineers, maybe engineers that were either responsible or involved in the design of a system, mechanically, electrically, et cetera. We often would have safety professionals, maybe an EHS manager or an EHS professional in an organization. And that's all great, but unless we have a more balanced team to include operations, probably maintenance, the different job tasks of people that have to work around that equipment so that they can clearly express, here's what actually happens and here's what we actually do. So that's when we're talking about a team-based risk assessment, it's usually in the neighborhood of about half a dozen people from different parts or different departments of an organization so that those various perspectives can be added and a better picture and a better outcome results.
So when we're bringing those half dozen or so people together, who is getting involved on our end? I know there's several safety consultants on the Rockwell team. Are they typically the ones? Do we have a field service engineer with a safety background? Who's going to be doing that coordinating of the conversation, of getting operations to talk to design, et cetera?
So our risk assessment consultants, our machine safety consultants, are now formally managed with also project managers. So every time that an engagement is undertaken, a project manager is assigned, which will help coordinate the meeting times, the right people to be invited to the meeting, and then the scope of what's going to be covered in operations. So we have approximately 30 machine safety consultants on staff. We've got a growing number of project managers on the same team to complement their work. So it's a we think a really well organized and executed set of occurrences, right up through including documentation readout and review with the final customer.
So not just the creation of this assessment, but we're also going to come back, sit down, and work with the customer on, hey, what does this mean? How do we create a plan of action going forward? Now, I know a lot of times that then naturally leads into safety components, safety devices, putting together guards and light curtains and solutions that way. Of course, the theme of this podcast is please get in touch with the automation team here at TRC. We'd be bringing them in. We'd be potentially bringing in others from Rockwell as well. Once we have that direction, we then have the team and the solutions to back that up and help you put together the appropriate package.
Yeah, that's right. We'd have outcomes that would be determined as appropriate by the plant, by the management, whether there's any work to do to change the work tasks or to change the machinery or ultimately maybe to add safeguarding. And we have a really well documented set of instructions that come from that. Our risk assessment consultants use a software program called Risk Assessment Software for Windows, or RASWIN. It's actually a software program that we make available to customers. It's a subscription basis, and it's a very thorough, rigorous documentation tool that both helps you create the risk assessment, then also map it to some engineering requirements. So they're not locked into that. If some company says, hey, we use a different tool, then we're adaptable. We could use a different format. But as a default, we're using this RASWIN software, which is then also made available to the plant to manage and maintain their risk assessment and safety journey. We actually have a new software tool, newly released, separate from RASWIN, called Safety Automation Builder. And it's a greatly streamlined, kind of reduced function set of risk assessment through design tools. But the new version 4 of Safety Automation Builder, actually has a risk assessment front end, if we want to call it that, to guide through the tasks and hazards that would be exposed to people on a machine and document that, create an exportable spreadsheet file, and then map that to what are we going to do about it? What type of devices, what type of guarding, and start the engineering process that way. So those are two different software packages or programs that are available to help in this whole topic.
It sounds like, from what you're saying, Safety Automation Builder is set up the same way as how I tried to describe assessments a few minutes ago, where we're not just looking at things to say we've done a risk assessment and move on, but we are gearing this towards actual plans of action. That this is just, to use your words, the front end of what's happening. It's doing the risk assessment so that we can actually mitigate the risk and put a better solution in place. And then that software is built the same way. We're doing the risk assessment, and it's directly leading into, okay, and now what solution are we putting together? How do we reduce risk, make sure that we're in a safe state going forward?
I think that's a great way to put it. We use the term safety lifecycle, starting with assessment to drive out our requirements document, which then is the basis for an engineering design, finally to verify, install, and validate that design, and then the ongoing maintenance. So kind of those stages in the life cycle repeated periodically through however long that machine asset is in place could be decades.
One other tool that I feel we definitely need to mention within this conversation is training. I am, one of the hats I wear is the training coordinator for Reynolds in North Texas. So of course that's something that I needed to talk about. There are several different ways we can approach that. We have safety specific classes. We have access to the TUV safety certification program. We have training on our safety components. We have classes specifically on those safety guards and devices. We have a class specifically on guard logics, the safety PLC. So those components of solutions that we would put together, we can make sure that you're trained and ready to implement and maintain those pieces. Additionally, we can look at bigger picture training of, as we're going through a risk assessment, making sure that you and your team are learning how to implement these practices going forward so that there doesn't necessarily need to be a full engagement on every single machine if you know how to put some of these in place yourself. And then you can come back to us as needed on larger scale projects, on more concerning applications, to have that safety expert in the conversation. Now, I think the last part of our conversation might feel a little bit like an appendix rather than the last bit of the same conversation, but I wanted to make sure that Eric had a space here at the end to talk about some of the different safety standards that could be used in these scenarios. Just in brief, but just so that we know where this is drawing from, and this isn't just an off-the-cuff, what do I think feels safe, let's hope OSHA accepts what we're doing here sort of an approach, but a more methodical, rooted in best practices and industry standards and such.
Over the years, different standards and different approaches have evolved. In fact, in the U.S., we've had our own whole set of standards, NFPA, American National Standards, or ANSI, different organizations and engineering groups. Meanwhile, in other parts of the world, let's say Europe, standards are evolving from an IEC standpoint. You mentioned TUV earlier. We primarily work with the TUV Rhineland organization, but they also involved in assuring that practices and engineering standards are followed. So there's a whole litany of standards, but we like to try to focus in on the American version, so ANSI, and they're largely becoming harmonized or sometimes just exact mirror images of the ISO or global standards. Specifically, for example, the American standard ANSI B11.0, to throw out some alphabets here, that is a overarching machine safety requirements standard, very broad, but with some good detail on how to implement or how to document risk assessments. And it's very well harmonized or lined up with ISO standards that are counterparts. Likewise, another American standard called B11.26 is fairly new, and it's a adoption of the ISO standards for engineering safety controls. So we try to stay focused on the American standards such as ANSI, including ISO, sometimes IEC standards get into play. So when we get into the engineering, we find terms like performance level and categories and safety integrity levels. And these are all just words and phrases that have a lot of meaning in terms of the engineering and analysis it takes to do things correctly.
I'm assuming that most who are listening to this podcast are going to be customers in our territory, end users in this area. The American standards would apply. If there are any OEMs who are looking at potentially shipping product overseas and there are other standards that are applicable to a scenario, we do have the expertise on staff, is what I'm hearing you say, to address those. And that would just be communicated at the beginning of us working with you to make sure that we're all on the same page and assessing, designing, engineering towards the correct goal, the correct standard, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you design and build a machine here that you're sending to Europe, you have to file the right kinds of documentation to say that you've understood and followed the European requirements, or essentially your equipment can't clear customs. Likewise for Brazil, they have their own set of standards. China has its own set of standards. So yes, where your equipment is going to be is very pertinent. You mentioned right here in the Texas area, in some cases, the offshore, you know, the platform work is using IEC standards, especially around hazardous areas and intrinsic safety. So it does have some benefit to understand a little more deeply where the equipment is going and what the authorities having jurisdiction for that site or area would want to see, require to see.
Well, thank you, Eric. This has been a pretty quick episode, which I think was our plan. We just wanted to give a high-level overview, a little bit more about safety, who we have available on staff that we can go and start helping our customers. So I will make sure, as always, the TRC Automation team, our contact info, there's links to that in the show notes. Reach out to us. We'd love to get Eric involved in some projects as well. And again, Eric, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Great to be here. As you say, don't hesitate anybody to reach out for help.
Thank you for listening to this episode of TRC Talks. For support, please see our website, ReynoldsOnline.com. And for those who are outside of our area, please visit RockwellAutomation.com and you can find your authorized local distributor there. Check our show notes for links on how to contact our team and to see our upcoming webinars. TRC Talks is produced and hosted by Wayne Welk and Brad Freeman of the Reynolds Company. Editing and mixing for this episode by Brad Freeman, and today's guest was Eric Lumbier. Thank you again, and we'll see you in the next episode.